Would he be better at Manchester United than Solskjaer?
Well, I'm only giving you my opinion. I believe so.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
We are turning our attention to the opening weekend of the Allianz Football League. Anthony Moyles, good morning.
Morning, Owen. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Let's start and go through this chronologically then. Kerry against Galway on Saturday afternoon was kind of the first game up, 421 to 11 points, I think, is probably just the scoreline that will have shocked a lot of people, Anthony, mainly because Galway were expected to not screw up the league as badly as they did after the pandemic last year.
Yeah, well, they probably need to start over. because the one thing you can't do, I suppose, coming into a situation playing Kerry, you know, whatever about any other team, but certainly Kerry, you can't bring a lack of intensity into it. And I think Galway just kind of brought that to the party. They came into the game. There was a bit of a kind of a challenge match type feel about it in the first even 5, 6, 7 minutes. Some of the scores Kerry got, you know, Galway guys were close, but not close enough. I think they were abiding by the 2 meter COVID rule, and they certainly kept that going because, you know, just not getting close enough, standing off Clifford, standing off Paddy Clifford, standing off Spillane, standing off fellas out the pitch. And Kerry came with an absolute unbelievable level of intensity. So you had one team which was definitely deficient. You had another team who were mad keen to set a marker and put a marker down, especially after the debacle of last year. And of course, that just caused the rift. And you can see what happened. Like, I mean, they just absolutely just blew them apart. And it's worrying for Porrick. Because, you know, you're facing now next week a Roscommon team that had a decent performance against Dublin. And, you know, once you lose that first game, you're on the back foot. So it's worrying for him. You know, I think there will be a response by them, and hopefully there should be. They'll get a fair kick up the behind this week. But, you know, Kerry could just do whatever they wanted with them on Saturday, and they did.
The last time I've seen a team try and do this to Kerry as in just go man to man, but was Mayo in the Super 8s a couple of years ago, and it ended up being a 10-point win for Kerry. There's a similar pattern here where if you don't have a man in front of that full forward line, they will do damage. But at the same time, Anthony, there are a couple of things from Saturday that maybe we can read into a little bit. One of them is Sean O'Shea playing much closer to goal. So I think we've had conversations on the show, maybe with yourself, about where is the future of Sean O'Shea on the pitch? Is he a midfielder potentially? And it's interesting, I don't think too many people saw this coming, that actually it's gone the other way, that he's gone in a lot closer to goal. He was a target man at times. There was runners going off his shoulder and he was playing way less on the 40. He didn't really kick past the ball from those deep positions at all. He was right in the mix and it just created chaos in the full forward line. Like, as you say, this could just be an event that would have occurred behind closed doors but no cameras in an ordinary year. But maybe there is something in this. Maybe there is a future for him closer to that full forward line.
Well, I think it's probably a thing whereby, Owen, you know, we definitely have spoken about this before, and it's a situation where, say, you know, if you've the likes of John Small, Mark and Sean, you know, John is very adept at obviously sticking right with you and getting in your shorts, you know, and that doesn't help the likes of Sean O'Shea. He needs that bit of freedom. So, you know, when he was out at 11 and he was really, really being closely man-marked, he couldn't really influence the game as much. So why not then just bring him in closer to goal rather than bringing him further out the field? You know, bringing them actually further away from goal, bring them in closer to play, bring them in closer to the danger zone. So then he can actually use now his strength because he's you can see it in him. He's really started physically, you know, get a lot stronger. You know, you can see he's a unit now. He was always tall, but he's starting to get a big pair of shoulders on him. And so he's starting to be able to win his own ball, fend off men, kick his own score or create. And you know, you saw that even from the first goal. I think it's a very, very smart move. Now, it helped them on Saturday because Moran was obviously kind of being able to play that quarterback role where he was just kind of spraying balls left and right. That would be a different kettle of fish if Moran obviously was in the middle of Croke Park having to actually man-mark, say, someone like a Fenton or, you know, a McCarthy or someone like that, whereby he was now having to actually be up in another midfielder's face. So, I think it's a great idea, you know, and it's something that they're trying to unearth. So if they find O'Shea in a situation where he's not really influencing the game enough, well, then they can switch him in and maybe put a bit of speed out in that half forward line. just to win a bit of ball. But what was really evident, Owen, is the fact that of the forward power that they had, you know, the two Clifford lads, Spillane himself, like, I mean, that is four forwards that, as a defender, you'd be having nightmares going to bed the night before a game thinking, how are we going to look after these boys the next day?
Not to mention Gainey as well.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, Gainey will do everything that he's always been doing, you know, and I like the idea of him. Like, there's definitely going to be, like, if you remember a couple of years ago, obviously, Dublin were doing this. They were one of the first to bring this in, this rotation system whereby after a score, you know, depending on who took the score and who was in close to goal, that person would just stay in. So you could end up marking, like, I remember one day you might be, you know, you start on Alan Brogan, the next thing you could be on Bernard Brogan, you could have, you know, Conal Keeney on you, you could have someone else. And there was always the, and Dublin were kind of looking at basically different matchups, different size, different players ending up on different defenders. You know, you might have a really speedy guy on a bigger guy, whatever it was. But the whole idea was that they were just trying to confuse the defence. And certainly, Kerry now have the ability that they can just put forwards anywhere they want and cause mayhem.
Has football arrived at a place where kick passing is now officially back in, Anthony? Or is this everybody that's showing up and they're like, ah, the weather isn't too bad for the league, let's kick the ball a lot? Because it was certainly a rare sight to see Tyrone show up and be like, yeah, we are kicking the letter off the ball today, which was brilliant, don't get me wrong, and I know it's new management, but it's just curious, isn't it, that we're seeing a hell of a lot more kick passing.
Joe, it was great. It was absolutely fantastic. I have to say, it was a fantastic game. I was really impressed by it. You know, and I know there's plenty of the hurling crowd are bemoaning the fact of the changes in hurling. Now, there's a couple of rules. I can't stand the offensive mark. I still don't like it. I don't particularly like the mark in around midfield. I don't like the mark anywhere, to be honest. I think it, and you can see it has an awful, it creates a stop-start situation and removes obviously a lot of intensity. And look, I hate the fact that even as a defender, you know, like, I mean, if a forward wins the ball in front of you, you know, he still has an awful lot to do. So you may have lost that first battle that he has won it. But at the second time, you know, if you're smart enough and you understand his movement and where he wants to get to, you know, it's still an awful lot for a forward to get a shot off. And that was the real ability with the classy forwards, the ability to actually know that they were being double teamed or they had a guy on them who knew their strengths and they were still able to get shots off. So for the mark, I can't stand it. But at the same time, it was really interesting to see Donegal and Tyrone. I'd say if there was two marks taken in an offensive situation over the whole game, I think I remember McBrearty taking one, but they just said, no, we're not going to do this. We're just going to play the game as it was destined to be and as it should be. And we're just going to go through, take our ball, take our man on, try to find runners. The clash of styles, I thought, was really, really interesting. And it was more defined, actually, last weekend than it has been for a while in Donegal-Tyrone games.
Hey, did you want to expand on that a bit? What specifically was the clash here stylistically, especially considering one of the managements on show was a totally new management team?
Yeah, well, I think Tyrone are trying to build. If you look at it, it's amazing the size of the Tyrone forward line now. You know, they've got an awful lot of big men coming in. You know, even the new man, Donaghy, came in who had a remarkable debut, 10 scores. You know, big man, you know, well able to motor, well able to get around, does his level of work. You've obviously got Myler in there, you've Donnelly, you've a lot of big guys now. You've obviously, hopefully, McShane to come back. So you've a situation where you've gone from they were lacking a little bit of size over the last number of years, a few kind of smaller fellas knocking around. Now they've gone to a very, very big physical forward line with a lot of power. And I would imagine the idea there will be, you know, that they have that out ball where they're able to spray a pass. Now, at times it didn't work. Hamsey and a few fellas tried to put in some balls to McKenna and a few times, and they just kind of held up in the air and they weren't good. But it's only 3 or 4 weeks in. I think they'll adapt that. And I think they will definitely bring that sense to the championship much, much more. The direct ball in. Now, it all depends, obviously, who's kicking it in. They're going to have to get the right guys on the ball. But I'd say that's why they want Donnelly coming out around the middle of the field. It's also why they want probably Hart coming from six. You know, even though he was playing six, he had an ability where he was able to move off a man would come in and take his position, hold that central column. Because if you remember, over the last number of years, I've bemoaned the fact that Tyrone have been not easy to take at, but they've conceded a lot of goals by fellas' teams just running straight down the middle. And what was really interesting on the weekend was, as soon as Donegal tried to do that nice interlink play that they do, Tyrone made sure that they closed up the middle of the defence, the top of the D, really quickly. And they forced them out. Now, they kicked the scores, but they didn't give up the goals. And it seemed to me that there was definitely work being put on that. Donegal on the far side, I think they're one of the best, they're top three, top four in the country now at running angles. If you want to go back and just, if you're coaching a team or you're as a forward or as a young lad, and you want to see where you start your runs relative to where you end up, the interlink play between them is just fantastic. They've guys running at different angles. They have a lot of screening going on. They have a lot of kind of basketball stuff going on where they've guys coming around the back. If you get stopped, you turn, you pop it, another fella coming at an angle. And it's very, very difficult to defend against. Tyrone did very well, as I say, to stop goals. But some of the ability and some of the moves around and some of the interlink play by Donegal was fantastic. I thought it was a cracker of a game. And, both teams are going to be there or thereabouts this year.
On the Donegal side of things, we're obviously going to judge this team by what happens when they get to the stage of the season where they failed over the last couple of years, which is not getting to that All-Ireland semi-final. It is incredible to think that the last time they were in an All-Ireland semi-final, they beat Dublin in it, and they haven't been back there since. So it goes beyond the style of play and how they evolve on a mental level as much as anything else this year, Anthony, I suspect. Or are you looking for a step up, footballing-wise, from Donegal this year?
Yeah, I think they've been unlucky as well, Owen, to be honest. They've been hampered by a few big injuries over the last number of years. Murphy is playing very, very well again. The talisman of the team, there's not much more you can say about that guy, but I think they've brought a lot of speed to it. Some of the new guys that came on or who were on Saturday brought some massive pace to it. They have that ability to carry the ball. They can kick it as well. But I think they've got a number of kind of different, darts that they can throw between whether they're playing Murphy inside or outside or whatever it is. McBrearty, he was sharp. He wasn't really, really sharp, I would say, last weekend. I think he's a few more games into him, it'll help him. But, I like the way they're evolving. I think they kick when they need to, but they're a hard-running team still who are very, very well organised in defence. They know when to send fellas forward. They can be very patient. As soon as they get ahead, they can strangle a game on you. I think they've been caught between two stools for the last number of years of trying to transition their game and progress their game, or trying to stick with the traditional game that they've had over the last kind of 7 to 10 years, that Jim McGuinness really brought to the fore. So I think they're getting there. They're getting very, very close to that. And they've added a bit of firepower up front now, and they've got a bit more confidence, I think, in how they're playing. And again, as I say, this ability to be able to run off shoulders and run at different angles, it's very, very difficult to defend against that. Even if you have a packed defence, you really have to go with runners. You have to anticipate actually where a guy is going to end up rather than where a guy has started from. And that's quite difficult to defend against. It's tricky to practice as a squad, but obviously they've put an awful lot of work into it.
On Dublin then yesterday, Anthony, they put up 122 in a game, and it's could it be more, but it's also the sort of performance where you're looking, say you're talking about Galway gifting Kerry a heap of goal scoring opportunities the other day, it feels that Galway or Dublin do not need to be given that gift to put up a score like 122. They will score 122 against you regardless of who you are, regardless of what star defenders your defence is actually made up of. It is a routine thing. It comes from years of experience with these players coming in and playing together in training. And Cormac Costello, I think he scored as much as Clifford actually in the end yesterday. It is just something that we brush off as standard. This is what we've come to expect, 122, a casual 122 almost.
It is, yeah, it's unbelievable. All the papers, obviously, yesterday and today, they're talking about Clifford, and not really hardly mention of Costello. It's scary how efficient they are, Bowen. You know, it really is scary how efficient they are. I saw a statistic last night. Like, I mean, I can't remember what, but it was high 80s, I think, of percentage of shots from within the kind of, you know, 25, 30 meter line. They're known to shoot within the D and only shoot within the D. Bring the ball in, make sure there's a percentage shot. They have an unbelievable ability to hurt you from every angle. What really impressed me the other day was, again, it's their halfbacks and their ability of the halfbacks to go and go beyond the play. So you have McDade, you have Merchant. You know, it'd be a nightmare as a forward because you're thinking, oh, they're not going to keep going. They're going to stop. They're not going to get this ball. And next thing, they just keep going. And they're running flat out, full pace, a la Jack McCaffrey. And they're running beyond the ball. And the ball eventually ends up with them. And what it does is it causes down a defender to make a decision whether he either leaves his man to cover this guy off or whether he just lets him go. If he lets him go, he's going to pretty much run nearly all the way into the net. So if he leaves, of course, the ball is slipped back out. They do these backdoor cuts. They do these little loop arounds. They have all of the various different moves, but they're looking really, really sharp. They've brought in a couple of new guys. You know, your man, the young guy, Lahiff, who came on, looks like a unit. So any kind of midfielders out there who are thinking that they'd get a handle on Fenton, now they have another man to try and work out. And, you know, again, you're looking at Costello. Costello, this is a big year for him, you know, not to keep any more pressure on him, but it is. He's been knocking around now for a long time. I'm not sure what age he is, but I'd say he's 27, 28 maybe. And this is a big year. He has an opportunity with Dean Rock injured at the moment. And like, look, you couldn't ask for much more than what he did last weekend. I thought he was really sharp. He looked very focused. His dead ball kicking was excellent, but he was a big threat from normal play. He was very aggressive. He was taking on his man every time. And then he wasn't just happy to dish it off. You know, he was taking shots on. And I thought he worked very, very well with Kilkenny. So, you know, this is a big season for him. And again, he's another addition for them if he's back playing at his best.
He's 27 in July. He's still cresting towards a peak.
He is, Jerry, yeah. And like, I mean, you know, some fellas, it just takes that long, you know, and you can feel sorry for him in the sense of he was always there, thereabouts. But, you know, you're coming in against obviously a forward line that has had some of the best players of a generation. And, you know, the added pressure of obviously his connections and everything else going on. I don't know if that added any pressure, but you can imagine that obviously the pressure of him being such a star when he was young. That's you know, there was an awful lot of expectation built up on him, you know, and you know, last year didn't end how we would like it to end. This year, you know, he has a fresh start. He's coming in, he's saying, okay, here's an opportunity. And to be fair now, you know, that wasn't easy for him. It even though it's the first game out, he wouldn't have had much preparation coming into that. And you'd imagine Dean Rock is kind of sitting there chomping at the bit. So this he had to take it yesterday. And he could have very easily only ended up with 2 or 3 points and being hauled off at halftime or 40 minutes into it. And essentially, that could have been it for him. You know, like, I mean, really, you know, you kind of, like, I mean, Dublin don't give you too many chances as a guy. You know, there's enough fellas waiting in the dressing room to take your spot. So, I you know, happy for him in the sense that he's come out and he's managed to grab that, and he certainly grabbed the game, and, you know, he's put himself right in the frame for the next day. But the next day is the big one for them. This is going to be, it's an awful pity we can't all head down to Turles and stand even, I don't know, on top of the stand or something, or get somewhere around, because this is going to be an absolute cracker next weekend. Like this, you know, I know Owen won't like me for saying it, but this, Kerry are going to leave some markers down next weekend, and this I believe Dublin will be primed for this. This could be an absolute rip roar.
There was friends of mine sitting on the wall in Tralee on Saturday afternoon, and they've already looked into getting a cherry picker to get on the wall in Thurles this Sunday. This is a match of that importance. Anthony, I know you were impressed with Armagh as well. We'll have to come back to them another day because we are straight out of time at this point. But thanks a million for taking the call this morning.
No bother, lads. Cheers.
Cheers, Anthony. Anthony Moyles there with us on this Monday morning, 32 minutes past 9.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.